We'll bring you the February 8 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the rain report. Downloadable as an MP3 file from therainreport.com. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. 15 years ago, in December 1992, Rain's founder-producer, Hep Holly, KC9RP, discovered a posting on Packet called the Condo Communications Newsletter. Its author was Art Winterbauer, W0AEW, formerly known as N0OQS. During 1993 into 1994, Art read his newsletter on the Rain Report. This week, we'll flash back to the first edition of his newsletter. While you listen to Art read it, please give some thought to writing and reading your own column for Rain. Details as to how will follow after Art reads his first column.
This is Art Winterbauer, N0OQS, with this edition of the Condo Communications Newsletter. This radio column is devoted to those amateurs who, for various reasons, must configure their stations to operate from restrictive areas, such as condos, apartments, townhouses, neighborhoods with outdoor antenna restrictions, ships and boats, mobile homes, or wherever they call QTH. The objective of this newsletter is to encourage us to investigate means of employing all of the modes available to us for as many different purposes as possible. We're interested in hearing from you who operate anything from CW to amateur television, packet to spread spectrum, sideband to FM on all of the amateur frequencies. Some of our cliff dwellers regularly handle traffic, participate in emergency drills, chase DX, or just rag chew. We'd like to hear from those who operate QRP as well as run a kilowatt from their loft. And of course, all of you have had to come up with some interesting solutions to antennas that will fit into a tight corner yet effectively radiate a decent signal. And, need it be said, while causing as little radio frequency interference to our neighbors as possible. I'll give an address at the end of this portion of the program where you can submit your stories of covert communications. But for now, here are a couple of station descriptions to give you an example of what we're after. Let's begin with my own. I live in a wooden, two-story townhouse topped with a modest attic. The usable space in the attic is about 25 by 25 feet and is floored with plywood. One main HF rig consists of a pair of 20-meter kits, a direct conversion receiver, and a half-watt transmitter. The other HF rig, seldom used because of television interference, is a restored DX20 transmitter and an old GPR90 general coverage receiver. For VHF, there is a small handy talkie. It is usually attached to the computer and a home-built modem for packet, using poor man's packet software. But it's the antenna farm that puts out the signal. On HF, the principal antenna is a wire loop, a full 20 meters in length, tacked to the underside of the roof up in the attic, and connected to a tuner with ladder line. When experimenting with infed wires, the tuner is grounded to a homemade artificial RF ground. For VHF, I can choose between a J-pole, suspended from the underside of the roof with string, or a four-element vertically oriented beam mounted on a pole on the attic floor. Since there are too many rafters in the attic for turning the beam, it is oriented in a fixed position toward a couple of often used packet nodes. If you've never tried HF QRP operation with indoor antennas, then you may be surprised with what you can do. With that half watt, I've made plenty of QSOs throughout the country, coast to coast, and well into Canada and Mexico. Every contact is DX as far as I'm concerned. But in any case, the transmitter and receiver, along with a rolled-up dipole, a battery, and a few other odds and ends, pack up neatly into two bicycle bags for the summertime bike ride to the local reservoir. And QRP really cuts down on the RFI. Without a good nearby electrical ground, it's pretty hard to control stray RF. More about that in a moment. With VHF packet, I can connect to several nearby gateways for high-frequency DX fun and have hooked up with a Fuji satellite courtesy of the N0NBH PacSat gateway. I even directly contacted Mir once on a very early morning pass with just 5 watts to the J-pole, and I can pass and deliver NTS traffic via packet. you may be starting to see a theme that runs throughout the topic of so-called covert communications, antennas and grounding. As we descend downward through the spectrum, from VHF into HF, antennas and grounding become more of a challenge, but certainly not insurmountable. Listen to what Dave, AJ5F, and XYL, N4TCH, report. Our version of the American Dream was a condo on Miami Beach. We got a great deal on an 11-floor penthouse with a fabulous ocean view that 10 million Northerners and Canadians would kill for. Problem: how do two licensed hams continue their hobby from said QTH?
You're listening to the first edition of the Condo Communications Newsletter, a feature that was voiced for the Rain Report 15 years ago by Art Winterbauer, W0AEW, formerly N0OQS. We'll resume his column in a moment. This is the Rain Report, being subsidized this month by the NS9RC North Shore Radio Club, whose analog and D-Star repeaters serve Chicago's North Shore and beyond.
The attic is a concrete slab 6 inches thick, and the condo association said no antennas on the roof. After the work the hams here did during Hurricane Andrew, I may get them to change their minds. So, the antenna is a truck mirror-mounted base, bolted to the railing on our back porch balcony, with a 7-foot-tall houseplant behind it. The houseplant is a perfect disguise. There's a 2-meter, 70-centimeter mobile antenna screwed into the base. I use this for packet and rag chew on 440. To work HF, since there is only one feed line and I don't want to press my luck by running another, we unscrew the 2-meter 70-centimeter antenna and put in a 20-meter mobile whip. I run a TS-520 with full output, SWRs 1.8 to 1, with no RFI or TVI. I guess the TV cable system here is well built. The one thing that worries me is grounding. Currently, I have a piece of copper bare wire running about to feed to a steel window frame, hoping there might be some ground through the rebar system of the building's structure. Haven't had a problem yet, but who knows? 73s from Dave, AJ5F, and XYL, N4TCH. Good question, Dave. For an RF ground, you might try an artificial ground, but that doesn't help with the need for an electrical ground. Those of us clustered into townhomes, condos, and the like have a tougher time trying to find a good electrical ground. You could try the frame on the electrical socket, but the ground for it may be pretty far away and actually radiate a signal if it's a multiple of a wavelength. How far away is the copper pipe in your bathroom? 8 feet away is a quarter wavelength on 10 meters. So by making a good electrical ground, you may actually worsen your RFI problem. But for those of you fortunate enough to be near to Mama Earth, N3LSY suggests the importance of a good electrical ground for controlling RFI. I live in a townhouse and use some rather vintage helicrafters gear for my HF work. This is old tube-type gear that puts out about 100 watts or so. I was able to get rid of over 90% of my RFI problems, which included TVI, telephone interference, and getting RF burns in the shack, by grounding the receiver, transmitter, the TR switch, and the tuner to an 8-foot ground rod discreetly sunk into my flower bed, using number 10 wire to tie everything together. Individual needs may vary, but use good connectors, heavy wire, and keep wires as short as possible for best effect. This will not only make you a better neighbor, but increase the safety and effectiveness of your shack. That hint comes from N3LSY. So what would we like to hear from you? To come back to our theme, the two biggies with clandestine radio operations are 1, antennas adapted to tight spaces, and 2, dealing with the problem of poor or non-existent grounds. A problem related to this theme is dealing with RFI. We'd like to hear solutions to that problem. For example, have you ever wondered if you could tune that metal chimney flue to 40 meters? How about that guttering around the edge of the roof? And how big did the coils get in that super short dipole you've been experimenting with in the attic? And of course, we'd like to hear about modes or uses for these modes not usually associated with restricted space operations. What kind of modes? What kind of uses? Well, how about amateur television? High-speed digital modes? How about receiving GOES weather satellite images through a layer of wet shingles? How would you operate satellite from a QTH like yours? Let's hear from you. The preceding information was excerpted from my Condo Communications newsletter, which appears periodically on Packet Radio. This is Art Winterbauer, N0OQS, reporting from Denver, Colorado, for the Radio Amateur Information Network.
This has been a rain flashback to December of 1992, the first issue of the Condo Communications newsletter, a column written and voiced by Art Winterbauer, W0AEW, formerly N0OQS, now a resident of Longmont, Colorado. As mentioned at the beginning of this week's rain report, we'd like to air a column that perhaps you already write or would like to write. Is there any moolah in it for you? Nah, nobody connected with rain receives a greenback dollar or one thin dime for their efforts. However, if we run your column, you'll receive our undying gratitude and garner some additional readers. Well, listeners, anyway. If you're interested, please contact Rain's founder producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, via email. His email is Hap, that's H-A-P, and that's with only one P, hap@therainreport.com. You'll find his email address on therainreport.com as well. Next week, we hope to bring you a tribute of the late Dave Miller, NZ9E, also a former columnist with Rain. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2008. Rain, all rights reserved. These programs are made available to the amateur radio community under a Creative Commons license. Now, from a snowy Chicago, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you all a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.